Hey everybody, welcome into Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul. We're going to talk about things younger investors might want to know. We got a few items we're going to break down on this week's episode, so stay tuned for all of that. What's going on, folks? Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We always appreciate your time here on the show with Matt and Steve Paul as we talk about investing, finance, and retirement. And if you got some questions, need some help, or just want to check out the podcast on YouTube or get some other information, a lot of great tools, tips, and resources at rwpaul.com. That is rwpaul.com, so go check that out online. And we're going to get into some fun conversation this week with the guys. What's going on, Steve? How are you, my friend?
Good. I just got back from a nice vacation. I was down in Florida for about a week, and I got to do all the theme parks and that fun stuff with my kids. Took my son, Silas, to Legoland. He's like a Lego fanatic, so loved it. Okay. For his birthday. You know that silly basketball shot where it's like the smaller hoop where you got to make it from like 25 feet away? I drained that shot. I won him. He wanted this 6-foot like Lego Ninjago banana thing, and I made the shot. I won it. I was like the hero for a minute, and then I was just, you know, the idiot carrying a giant 6-foot banana for the rest of the day.
I actually had your wife, Michelle, send over a picture, so we've got that to share with everyone.
Oh, great. Everyone can have a good laugh.
Let's throw that up on the screen. There we go. We'll put that up there right now. Oh, that's great. Look at that. Yeah. That's awesome.
I was getting a lot of high fives from other dads.
How many shots did it take?
I hit it on the third shot. So I had 3 shots. I made it on the final shot. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, hero, right? And then, I don't want to carry this, Dad. Can you carry it?
Yeah, so, about a minute later. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. Matt, what you been up to while he's down in draining threes?
Well, while he was having fun, I was doing business. So myself and Beppin at our office, we went down to an investment conference in Nashville. Had a few too many one night, but that's okay. We dragged ourselves to the meeting and had a real nice meeting. Got to meet some managers. Liz Ann Saunders was there. She's from Charles Schwab. Brilliant lady. So just nice hearing some economic outlook there.
Well, let's bring some of that into the show this week and talk about a few items that younger investors might want to know, right? Or if you're an older investor, you're working with the team already, you know, share this with the kids or grandkids kind of thing. So it could be some good information in there. So let's dive in and get started. Set some goals. Stick to them. Give us a few.
The first one is set a budget. So track your expenses. See what is coming in, where it's going, because you might have 5 subscriptions you're not using to Peacock and Disney Plus and all this, and you might be spending a little bit too much going out and that kind of stuff. It's just what you need to know, and it's probably the most boring item on this list because nobody wants to do it.
You have the gym membership that you never use. But yeah, no, it's setting that budget and then keeping to it, tracking your expenses, and not trying to keep up with your buddies. I mean, that's a big one where it's, hey, I went out and bought this car that I can't afford or these clothes that I can't afford. So just try to track everything and live within your means, really.
Those are 2 great points. And, you know, I'm going to kind of throw in like keeping up with your friends also with social media, right? Like we now are so influenced by this stuff. You could see a lot of things that, you know, maybe you think, oh, I want that, and maybe it's not a good idea. So what else we got?
Going along with social media is don't subscribe to the influencers and the Wall Street Bets Reddit forums of the world that tell you to throw all your money in options and GameStop stock and Dogecoin and all this stuff that's going to lose money in the long run. There's no basis behind it other than the big allure of these big gains, oversized gains.
Yeah, I could throw $1,000 in and turn it into $100,000 by buying, what's the new one, Bonk, a new crypto.
First there was meme stocks, now there's meme coins.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a crazy world we're living in.
I mean, if you want to have some fun with that, though, you have some gambling money, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to throw a few $100 into something like this, go right ahead. Who knows, you might hit it big.
Right, just like you would tell your older investors, but don't risk, you know, too much, right?
Yeah, so the majority of your portfolio goes into good quality stocks, index funds. You can throw maybe 0.5% into some of these meme coins
and
stocks. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, we'll have to put a disclaimer up probably, but that's not an endorsement of Bonk. No, it's just a funny word.
speaking of disclaimers, anytime you see a crypto influencer or a YouTube influencer saying this is not financial advice and then proceed to give financial advice, probably don't listen to that person too.
What a weird world we live in. All right, so next one on my list here, guys, you've got a paper folding analogy on my notes. So what is this?
Yep, so do you have a piece of paper handy, Mark?
Yeah, sure.
He loves this. He loves this, by the way. I'm going to step out while he does this whole thing.
Okay.
If you could do me a favor, fold it in half maybe once or twice and then just show the camera.
Okay, it was already pre sort of folded in half, so it's my car registration, so I won't show that, but
fold it in half once, twice, and then if you were to do it 48 more times, for the sake of time we won't do that. And
48, so 50 total?
So 50 total times. Okay. If you were to fold that piece of paper, how thick do you think that would be? And for those of you at home, do the same thing. They'll get a piece of paper, pause the video.
Yeah, okay, so this is twice.
I guarantee you get this wrong.
As tall as me.
It blew my mind.
As tall as you.
I'm 6 foot tall.
Taller than Victor Wembanyama, whatever his name is.
How you say his name, okay.
No, so if you were to fold it and have 50 times, it would actually stretch from your desk past the sun.
So 100
and some million miles. And I ran the math. I verified it, checked it through ChatGPT. We'll share that with everyone on the screen.
We'll do the disclaimer.
Is the power. The reason I said that is that represents compound interest. And our brains as humans, we cannot understand, in simple terms, exponential growth. And that's what compound interest is. You double your money, you double your money again. And as a younger investor, you've got that time horizon to keep doing that.
Yeah, that's four.
There you go.
So
each time it doubles in size.
That's
five. I understand the power of compounding when it comes to investing. This still, to me, just seems crazy.
I mean, six is all I can do.
You can only physically do seven, I think. Yep.
Oh, could you? Yeah, I guess if I use the table and I'm really good in there, maybe I could do it. Wow. Okay, that's pretty wild, folks. Check that out.
I mean, that exercise just gives you an idea of how important it is to invest early. But if you can do that into a Roth and you get all that compounding power after tax, so you're putting after tax money into the Roth and it grows tax free, so it's continuing to compound year after year tax free. That can be a heck of a tool once you hit time of retirement.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into the next section then. So save and diversify. So let's run through some of these things here. What do we got going on?
Yeah, the first one's going to be index funds. I'm sure most investors, even if you're getting started, you probably heard that term because they're going to show up in your 401k. But an index fund is going to say, hey, look at the S&P 500. We're going to give you that return minus a small, small, negligible fee. We're talking 2-3 basis points, maybe sometimes a little bit more in your 401k.
Hey, Matt, real fast, what's a basis point for those who don't know what that is?
A basis point is 0.01%. So if we say 3 basis points, it's 0.03%. 100 basis points would be 1%.
Gotcha. Okay.
And pretty much you want to minimize that when you're young. So you want to be in that 4 or 5 basis point range where you're using Vanguard type index funds and you're achieving market returns and you're not making any big mistakes, because if you can do 10% year in and year out, which is about what the market does, you're going to double your money every 7 to 8 years. And that's where that paper folding analogy comes into play. But unfortunately, you don't have 50 doublings in your lifetime unless you're buying Bonk or something. Like, just kidding. Do not do that.
That is not financial advice. No, index funds make it easy. It's kind of a cheat code for diversification. So typically within a 401, you're going to get a handful of funds that you have to choose from. And some people pay an advisor to help them out. Pay them a management fee. I don't think that makes a ton of sense early on. I mean, you have 10 funds to choose from. If you want to sit down with an advisor and pay them $150 to help you, with the allocation, the beginning allocation, you can. But it's a pretty easy thing to set when you're given limited options like that. And once you have it set, auto rebal, 100% equities if you're, in your 20s or 30s and you've got 30 years of work ahead of you, and just let it run. Don't check it daily. Just let it run. DCA into it, continue to contribute, and you're going to like the end result.
I'll add to that real quick. If for any young investor, I would recommend the book Boglehead's Guide to Investing. You may not be familiar with the term Bogleheads, but Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, essentially pioneered index funds, and it's just a phenomenal read. It talks about keeping things simple, not overdoing it, not timing the market, that kind of stuff. And phenomenal read for anyone getting into it.
Yeah, we'll put that that name in the show notes for people that want to check that out in the description there on YouTube. Okay, what else we got?
Buy into panic, not the opposite. So I think the only time people don't want to buy things on sale is when they're losing money.
Well, it's funny, I'm talking to some of our clients, especially the ones that have been do-it-yourselfers and are pretty knowledgeable investors. When they go through their first downturn in retirement, they know we're able to generate safe income and they're going to be fine. They have Social Security coming in, you know, dividends, bond interest. We're able to hit their goals. But it's the fact that they don't have any dry powder, that they can't buy the dip. So when you're a younger investor, learn to love the dips. Learn to love the panic, because everything is just on sale at that point. Mm-hmm. So if you have this salary coming in every single month, you have income coming in, buy whatever you can. Mm. Don't go out, don't go shopping, just buy equities, buy things that are on sale, because you know you have the time horizon to wait out the dip and you're going to love the returns.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You do have the time horizon, which is, you know, another great piece of youth, right, that we sometimes don't think about. Okay, so, you know, if you're talking index funds with that kind of first piece, how important is tax thought, conversation, diversification, whatever, when you're younger?
Extremely important. So what we're going to do, we're going to throw on the screen kind of our order of operations chart. So we talked about in the beginning about tracking your expenses, setting a budget, then looking at it, 401k investing, which is typically where you're going to start. So that's, say your company's offering a match. So if it's a 5% match, that means if you put 5% of your salary in, it's like a 10% contribution for you. So it's free money. Mm-hmm. But the problem is a lot of people set their 401k and they don't save much beyond that. They're not looking at the other things, which we'll talk about, the Roth and HSA. They're just doing that 401k. And then by the time they get to retirement, we see this all the time where they've got only 401k money.
All pre-tax money, which can create a little bit of a nightmare on the back end. So we do a lot of Roth converting and that kind of stuff. But tax diversification and starting it early is extremely important.
Well, we, you know, it sounds sexy too, right? To go, hey, I'm a millionaire in my 401k because I've worked on this all these years. But you're not a millionaire because it's all in 401k. So your favorite uncle is waiting for his cut.
You got it. And we don't know what that's going to be. So if you're a younger investor, say you're 25 and you got 40 years to retirement, you're agreeing with Uncle Sam saying you're going to take an unknown amount of this. It could be significantly higher by the time you get there. Establishing a Roth IRA, which is that tax-free bucket, or an HSA, which is a triple tax advantage, meaning your money goes in, you get a tax deduction, it grows tax-deferred, and you can take it out tax-free for healthcare expenses. So establishing these different tax buckets is huge.
Well, more and more companies do the HSA, and you may have heard people say, refer to them as like a Roth on steroids. And can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
That's exactly right. So when you put money in a Roth, you don't get a tax deduction on that. But an HSA, you get a tax deduction on, which is significant, just like a 401k. But you have the ability to take it out tax-free for healthcare costs. So that's going to be vision, dental, prescriptions, anything that comes up, could be your kids' braces down the line. I'm sure we've got the Paul teeth, so we'll probably have braces at some in our future. You've got three kids, I've got one.
I can already tell I'm going to have a couple of those bills.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just boring. It's like you tell, you know, I'll have friends ask me what should I be doing that I'm not doing, and I'll throw out the HSA. Oh, health savings account. That's boring. I go to the doctor maybe once a year. I don't need that. And it's growing tax free. I'm going to tell you, invest in anything that's growing tax free. I mean, I've got Roth, HSA, 529s for my kids, anything that's growing tax free, compounding tax free. You want to own it. And I can guarantee you, you're going to have some serious bills down the road, and you're going to be happy that you have the HSA when you get older in your 50s, 60s, 70s. Healthcare is going to be significantly higher for you. So start planning for it now.
Yeah, I'm 52, man, and my HSA rocks. So
as you get older, the HSA becomes way cooler.
Yeah, it's much cooler. Exactly. It's funny how things become cooler when you're older than you didn't think of. I was talking to a friend I've known since high school the other day, and we were talking about the various things we did at 17, and then the things now at 52, and we're like, really? This is stuff we looked at our parents and went, you're an idiot. Yeah. And now we're in that same boat. In an interesting time here, let's keep moving on. Pay down debt, you got on here on the list as well. So talk to me about that.
Yep. So debt is crippling right now. The average credit card APY is 27.91%.
Let go of my arm.
If you don't understand
man.
What that means, if you have 10 grand in credit card debt, almost 3 grand is going to that credit card company just in interest. So when you're making those payments, that's how they're paying their bills over at Visa and MasterCard and all the banks. So,
and you can Google that stuff, right? Like the 30, like paying the minimum, how long it takes, all that stuff. It's like, you know, 100 years or 50 years or something crazy.
Oh, yeah. And it's such a common mistake that you see with younger people, too. Especially you get that little bit of freedom. It's like, hey, I've got an income coming in. I'm just going to start, you know, using this plastic card wherever I want. And then that is it's such a difficult hole to climb out of once you're in it.
Yeah.
And really, I'll add, not even just credit card debt. Could be student loan interest that's creeping up or an auto loan. And we kind of consider high interest debt anything in that 8% or above range.
Okay.
Try to get rid of that. If you got student loans less than that, or maybe you can refinance them with a company, just get it under that 8 number and chip away at it. We're not saying don't pay off your debt if it's low interest. Yeah. It's certainly an advantage to get rid of it and be debt free, other than your mortgage.
Yeah, other than your mortgage for sure. I mean, and you got to chip away, but obviously, you know, the advice here is going to be if you got 30 or 28%, whatever that number was, 27.91, that's the one you got to be working on, right?
Do whatever you can. Yeah.
Killing you.
Yeah, clean up your debt and build up an emergency account before you start looking at these other accounts that we're talking about here.
Okay. All right. So we're talking the episode here about being younger investors, things of that nature. So insurance. That's an old person's term, right?
Certainly not a sexy one to talk about, but you've got the especially if you have a family here, this is super important. So the first one is disability insurance. So if you think about it, say you're 30 years old and married, your most valuable asset is probably not going to be your 401k. It's not going to be your house. Your most valuable asset is going to be your future earnings. So the next 30 years of what you're going to make in your career, you need to make sure that's protected. So if you were to get disabled, which a lot of people think about, I'm not going to get in an accident. I'm working from home. Most disabilities are illnesses, and that's where disability will come in and protect that income.
Mm, great point. Yeah, you know, and so many people are having kids younger too, right, in their 20s, right? And you think, well, you know, but then I can't really afford it, so how do I pay for it? Anyway, sorry, Steve, you were going to say?
Yeah, and then we talked about life insurance. I mean, if you're younger, I mean, look at someone in my situation. I have 3 kids at home, a wife who was a teacher, is now retired. She's a stay-at-home mom. I mean, term insurance is a pretty cheap solution. Yeah. I would look at it, again, if you're in a situation like mine, kids, young kids at home, a stay-at-home wife or spouse, I would look at a couple million. You can get a couple million if you're in good health in your 30s for, I don't know, what, 50, 60 bucks a month?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes so much sense. This is top priority. Make sure your family's taken care of because you don't know what it could be. I was driving to one of our other offices the other day and a semi merged over and almost took me out. I mean, it was a couple of feet right there. Mm. So my life insurance almost paid out to my wife. She'd have been very... she'd have been sad, but then maybe a little happier.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, who would carry the banana?
Yeah, so, exactly, right?
Yeah. Right, you know.
She could pay to have a banana carrier.
That's right. If you don't get that reference, folks, and you're thinking I'm being weird, just check out the beginning of the show. You know, that was a
clean,
point.
Clean reference.
It was a clean reference, yes, exactly. What if you're younger, though, seriously, like, and you don't have a family? Like, insurance seems like the last thing on your brain. You know, even if you're 22, 25, whatever, you know, my daughter's 27, right? She doesn't have a family. Now she's getting insurance through the military because she's in the Navy, but it's easy to kind of say, oh, yeah, I don't need insurance. I'm 25 and it's just me. You know, still something worth looking at? Because, I mean, we're all just one blood test or diagnosis away from being uninsurable.
Yeah, so life insurance is less important in that situation, but disability is still very important because if something happens to her, she still needs money coming in to pay the bills, pay the rent, pay all that. So
yeah, okay. All right, well, anything else on the list to talk about for younger investors? I don't say keep saying viewers. Younger investors that they might want to know. There's a lot of stuff we obviously covered here, but...
No, so really look at that order of operations chart we put up. That was the track your expenses, create a budget, just start investing, start doing it. It's kind of like trying to lose weight. You need to diet, you need to exercise, you need to do both here. You need to watch what's coming in and watch what's going out. So manage the investments, keep it low cost, tax diversify, and manage your insurances.
Yeah, and everything. I mean, everything we went over today was pretty surface level. So yeah, go back to that chart, like Matt said. Eliminate the debt first and foremost, and then focus on the 401 match out. Absolutely match out. Don't leave any money on the table. Take that free money. You don't need to max out, but match out. Then beyond that, depending on where your income is, I highly recommend a Roth. Then, you know, once you have the kids, 529s as well, start building up that college fund. And the HSAs, like Matt talked about, anything that's going to compound tax-free, you want to own that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, guys, a lot of times I'll wrap it up with this, that, you know, financial advisors and professionals such as yourself are usually reaching out to folks in their older ages, right? Because it's just, you know, as you, Steve, you kind of said earlier, you don't necessarily need to pay somebody to do some of this stuff when you're younger, right? So that's probably not the ideal thing for people to do, because it's just, you're just not in that time of life yet. But it certainly doesn't hurt to kind of think about that in the for the future as well.
Yeah. If you're a younger investor out there and you can check all those items off that list, you're way ahead of the game.
Okay. All right. Well, if for some reason you do need some help, you know, and if things are going on, as always, I got to make sure I throw these plugs in there. Don't forget just to stop by the website. Again, a lot of cool tools, tips, and resources at rwpaul.com. That's rwpaul.com. And subscribe to the podcast, again, on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube platform. And, of course, we got some shorts up as well, and the full YouTube video as well. So lots of good ways to check stuff out. So, you know, subscribe, and that way you catch future episodes of Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul. Guys, thanks for hanging out. We'll see you next time here on the show.
Retirement Approved is brought to you by Richard W. Paul & Associates, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Throughout the presentation, we may generally discuss different financial vehicles. However, nothing we say should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle, nor should it be used to make decisions today about your investments or insurance. For full disclosures, check the show notes of today's episode.